McIntosh, before that date, had discussed plans fully with the members of his party. He considered that sufficient sledging provisions were available at Cape Evans, the supply landed from the ship being supplemented by the stores left by the Scott Expedition of 1912-13 and the Shackleton Expedition of 1907-09. The supply of clothing and tents was more difficult. Garments brought from the ship could be supplemented by old clothing found at Hut Point and Cape Evans. The Burberry windproof outer garments were old and in poor order for the start of a season sledging. Old sleeping bags had been cut up to make finneskoja, fur boots, and mend other sleeping bags. Three tents were available, one sound one landed from the Aurora, and two old ones left by Captain Scott. McIntosh had enough sledges, but the experience of the first journey with the dogs had been unfortunate, and there were now only four useful dogs left. They did not make a full team, and would have to be used merely as an auxiliary to man haulage. The scheme adopted by McIntosh, after discussion with the members of his party, was that nine men, divided into three parties of three each, should undertake the sledging. One man would be left at Cape Evans to continue the meteorological observations during the summer. The motor tractor, which had been left at Hut Point, was to be brought to Cape Evans and, if possible, put into working order. McIntosh estimated that the provisions required for the consumption of the depot parties and for the depots to be placed southward to the foot of the Beardmore Glacier would amount to £4,000. The first depot was to be placed off Minna Bluff, and from there southward a depot was to be placed on each degree of latitude. The final depot would be made at the foot of the Beardmore Glacier. The initial task would be the haulage of stores from Cape Evans to Hut Point, a distance of 13 miles. All the sledging stores had to be taken across, and McIntosh proposed to place additional supplies there in case a party, returning late from the barrier, had to spend winter months at Hut Point. The first party, consisting of McIntosh, Richards, and Spencer Smith, left Cape Evans on September 1st with £600 of stores on one sledge, and had an uneventful journey to Hut Point. They pitched a tent halfway across the bay on the sea ice and left it there for the use of the various parties during the month. At Hut Point, they cleared the snow from the motor tractor and made some preliminary efforts to get it into working order. They returned to Cape Evans on the 3rd. The second trip to Hut Point was made by a party of nine, with three sledges. Two sledges, man-hauled, were loaded with £1,278 of stores, and a smaller sledge, drawn by the dogs, carried the sleeping bags. This party encountered a stiff southerly breeze with low temperature, and, as the men were still in rather soft condition, they suffered much from frostbites. Joyce and Gaze both had their heels badly blistered. McIntosh's face suffered, and other men had fingers and ears bitten. When they returned, Gaze had to travel on a sledge, since he could not set foot to the ground. They tried to haul the motor to Cape Evans on this occasion, but left it for another time after covering a mile or so. The motor was not working and was heavy to pull. Eight men made the third journey to Hut Point, Gaze and Jack remaining behind. They took £660 of oil and £630 of stores. From Hut Point the next day, September 14th, the party proceeded with loaded sledges to safety camp on the edge of the barrier. This camp would be the starting point for the march over the barrier to the Minna Bluff depot. They left the two sledges with £660 of oil and £500 of oatmeal, sugar and sundries at safety camp and returned to Hut Point. The dogs shared the work on this journey. The next day, McIntosh and his companions took the motor to Cape Evans, hauling it with its grip wheels mounted on a sledge. After a pause due to bad weather, a party of eight men took another load to Hut Point on September 24th and on to safety camp the next day. They got back to Cape Evans on the 26th. Richards, meanwhile, had overhauled the motor and given it some trial runs on the sea ice. But he reported that the machine was not working satisfactorily, and McIntosh decided not to persevere with it. "Everybody is up to their eyes in work," runs the last entry in the journal left by McIntosh at Cape Evans. "All gear is being overhauled, and personal clothing is having the last stitches. We have been improvising shoes to replace the finneskoja, of which we are badly short. Wild has made an excellent shoe out of an old horse rug he found here, and this is being copied by other men. I have made myself a pair of mitts out of an old sleeping bag. Last night I had a bath, the second since being here. I close this journal today, September 30th, and am packing it with my papers here. Tomorrow we start for Hut Point. 9 of us are going on the sledge party for laying depots, namely Stevens, Spencer Smith, Joyce, Wilde, Cope, Haywood, Jack, Richards, and myself. Gaze, who is still suffering from bad feet, is remaining behind, and will probably be relieved by Stevens after our first trip. With us, we take 3 months' provisions to leave at Hut Point. I continue this journal in another book, which I keep with me. The 9 men reached Hut Point on October 1st. They took the last loads with them. 3 sledges and 3 tents were to be taken onto the barrier, and the parties were as follows. Number 1, McIntosh, Spencer Smith and Wilde. Number 2, Joyce, Cope and Richards. Number 3, Jack, Haywood and Gaze. On October 3rd and 4th, some stores left at halfway camp were brought in, and other stores were moved on to safety camp. Bad weather delayed the start of the depot-laying expedition from Hut Point until October 9th.